Our Bible reading today is Judges chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. This is on page 201 in the Red Pew Bibles, or it will be on the screen behind me. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.'" This is God's word.
Thanks, Joan. Please let me pray as we come to think about that, God's word to us this morning. Now, Father, we thank you for your grace and that through your word you always speak. We thank you for your power and your faithfulness. We thank you that nothing is ever too difficult for you, that you bring life from death. We pray that your word will bring encouragement this morning, and that we may grow to both see you and know you better. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. A few months ago, I was walking to church. I walk to church most Sundays. And as I was walking along Gardenia Street, I noticed on the footpath a note. It was a $100 note. Initially, I thought to myself, is it a counterfeit? I looked and it was a bit crumpled up, and I picked it up, opened it up. It looked real. I looked around. Has someone dropped it? I couldn't see anyone. And I thought to myself, what do I do? Do I leave it there? Well, surely someone else will pick it up if I left it there. And for what seemed a few minutes, but it was probably just a couple of seconds, I pondered, not sure what to do. I picked it up and I put it in my pocket and kept walking. What do I do with this? I asked a few people. The next day, I went to Riverwood Police Station and told them where I found it and handed it in. I said, if I dropped $100, I would like to think someone had handed it in. So I left it there. That encounter was just a snippet of a far bigger picture. But it's a picture that I don't know all the details of. Who dropped it? Why did they drop it? Did they have others? Do they miss that? Did they never even realise it was gone? Did they retrace their steps? Has someone claimed at the police station? Will I get the $100 if no one claims it? A snippet for which I don't know the full story. In some ways, it's a little bit like when I'm walking. Occasionally, I pass two people in a conversation. And as I walk, I hear this snippet of a conversation. But I don't know what's gone before, and I don't know what comes after it. It's a narrative in which I only know a part. The Bible passage that Joan read to us today is like that. It's a snippet of a father-to-be who doesn't know what has gone before and doesn't know what the result will be. We know some details, we as the readers know some details, but Manoah, the father, did not. And in some ways, our lives are a snippet in history. We don't know all that's made us who we are, and we don't know the influence we'll have on others in the future. All we can do is try and live in the present and live as much as possible with wise and good and godly choices. Well, today is Father's Day. It's an opportunity to remember and give thanks for fathers. And yet, like Brett prayed, I'm conscious of fathers whose children have died or who are estranged. Those who grieve having lost a father. Those who long to be a father and are not. Those whose fathers have been abusive. And while we look at an expecting father today, like all the Bible is not about fathers. The Bible is about God. And this passage is about God. Well, the book of Judges, in which this passage comes, the book of Judges begins with the tribes of Israel entering into the promised land. And they were to destroy all the inhabitants who were living in the land because of their great wickedness. They were also to destroy them so the religious practices of these inhabitants would not be a temptation for Israel. But interestingly, in chapter 1, we find time and again, time, that they didn't drive out these people. And so the book, in the opening verses that began with such anticipation entering into the promised land, is just a spiral that goes down and down and down and down until we get to the end of the book and we find there's anarchy. Through the book, a pattern emerges where God's people turn away from God. God gives them over to other nations to plunder and enslave them. The people, after some time, cry out for God to rescue them and deliver them. And God raises up a judge or a leader who will deliver them. And when the judge dies, the people turn away and rebel against God again, often in even more corrupt ways. Well, as the cycle begins in chapter 13, there's a slight change. In chapter 13, there's no crying out to God. There's no asking God to deliver them. And it seems as though the people had resigned themselves to having no hope. They grow unaccustomed to the Philistine oppression. And so the chapter begins, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And the focus comes down to this town called Zorah, which was in Dan, one of the tribes of Israel. As the Israelites grew, the people of Dan, most of them moved north. So there's this little group that is still left in Zorah. They're harassed and they're powerless and they're facing extinction. Ironically, the name Manoah means rest. But that's precisely what the people don't have. There is no rest. And to add to Manoah's despair, his wife can't have children. And so Manoah and his wife seem to be a mirror of what's happening to the tribe of Dan. There's hopelessness. And yet it's at this low point that this figure, it's called the angel of the Lord, appeared to Manoah's wife with the message that she would have a son. And the child would be a Nazarite. And the word conveys something about being separate or abstaining. He was not to drink alcohol, or she wasn't, while she was pregnant also, to touch nothing unclean, for his hair not to be cut. And normally for such a vow, it would be for a limited period of time. But for this boy, it was to be a lifelong vow, because he would have a mission. We read in verse 5, he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Interestingly, we're not told Manoah's wife's name. I don't know why that is. And yet, while anonymous, she's the one to whom the angel appears. She's the one to whom is given responsibility. And so she recounts to Manoah what happened. A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. But he said to me, you will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death. We're not told, but I wondered to myself, was Manoah upset? Why didn't he come to me? I'm the father. I'm the one responsible for instructing my son. I should be involved in this process. But all Manoah knows is what his wife has told him. So Manoah prays to God. Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who was to be born. And God graciously heard Manoah's prayer. And the angel of the Lord appeared again, but again to his wife. And so she hurries off to get Manoah, to bring him. And Manoah's told exactly the same thing. And it seems in all this excitement and all the commotion, Manoah suddenly realised his responsibility in the culture to offer hospitality. So he invites the guest to stay for a meal. But this man, this angel of the Lord, says, I'm not going to stay for a meal, but you can offer a burnt offering to the Lord. And it seems to say Manoah thinks this person is a prophet. So he asks his name so that when it comes about, when this child is born, Manoah and his wife will be able to acknowledge this prophet's name. And the angel of the Lord responded, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. Then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing. While Manoah and his wife watched as the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. That word, beyond understanding, is translated one other time in the Bible, in Psalm 139, verse 6. with the word wonderful. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. This name is beyond comprehension. And whenever the word is used in nouns that are similar to this, it is always in the connection with God. And it seems that the angel of the Lord probably was the Lord Jesus before his incarnation. Manoah and his wife were on holy ground. God was present there. And astonishingly, as they offer this sacrifice, this angel of the Lord ascends. Sometime later, Samson is born, and we're told that he grew in the Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord began to stir him. The chapter starts with such despair. But all that was began to change. God brought life out of a womb that could not have children. And God would bring a future for the people who had no future. What do we learn about God from this story of an expecting father? I want to suggest two things. The first is that God is the gracious Father who is always present and is always aware of our situation. Sometimes life can seem so hopeless. We can feel so helpless that in the back of our minds there may be this thought, is God even aware what's happening? Does God care? And yet this account reminds us that God is aware, is always present. What causes us despair is never despairing to God. In fact, God delights in using hopeless situations to bring about hope. There's a man called Brian Chappell. He's a preacher in the States, he's a pastor, he's an author, he's a conference speaker. He's well known in Christian circles. He has a brother called David. David was arrested. David's mind, when he was young, did not progress as his body progressed. His body became stronger, but his mind was underdeveloped. And as their parents aged, the stress of dealing with David, as well for his parents dealing with their own issues, led to them separating and divorcing. As David grew, his desire for friendship and thrills meant that he developed relationships that spelled trouble. And it happened. David was arrested and he was confined to a cell. And for a young man, knowing the overwhelming fear, but having a child's mind, he huddled in the corner, trembling. David, as he's in the corner, overwhelmed, unable to stop shaking, muttering. Another man in a cell had something rekindled, and he walked across to David. And in this prison cell, he shared the message of God's mercy. Jesus can help you. Trust him. Well, for David, the truths of Sunday school lessons he had learnt in special needs class came back into his mind and he prayed for God to forgive him and trusted in him as his saviour. In the midst of this prison cell, where his world was falling apart, he found hope in a hopeless situation. And Brian Chappell, as he writes about his brother, said, "Dave will be in jail for a long time, but he will also be with Jesus forever, forgiven, restored, treasured, and transformed." Like Manoah and the tribe of Dan, our situations are never beyond God's awareness. Regardless of what we think, they are never beyond God's awareness and presence and power. They may not work out as we want, but the same God who was the God of Dan is the God that is present with us. And the second thing I want to say is that God is the sovereign Father who sees the whole picture and keeps his promises. Manoah and his wife were unaware of what their son would do. As parents, they were unaware of the problems he was going to cause them. And yet God caused this childless couple to bring about one who would begin to deliver his people. And yet even though they saw this miraculous thing about the angel of the Lord ascending, Manoah and his wife could not know the bigger picture, which God knows. Samson would begin to deliver his people, the people of Dan, from the Philistines. And yet if we read the chapters after Samson, we find that God's people are guilty of idolatry, of rape, of abuse, of torture, even dismemberment. And we conclude the judges were not the answer. And so towards the end of the book of Judges, we find this refrain: the people want a king. There was no king. It seems so they wanted a king so there would be a dynasty, not just a judge who would come and then after 40 years be gone. They wanted an ongoing dynasty. And God gave them a king. But the kings became corrupt. And so God gave prophets to watch over the kings, but the prophets were killed. So God eventually sent his people to exile to learn to trust him. But when they returned, everything just came back to what it was. Finally, God's plan from the very beginning was always to give his own son, whose death would lead to permanent freedom and forgiveness. And not just obeying God from outwardly, but God changing people's hearts. Today, we look back in history to the cross. Because of the cross, we know there is a future. But we don't know what the future holds for us. And yet it's because of the cross we know that God is good and that we are loved. So even in the unknowing, God's sovereignty assures us that he is always working for the good and growth of his people. Even though in the present, it can be awful. Years ago, my sister married at the age of 42. She married a man named Brian. She was my only sibling, and I still remember the morning of the wedding, such great excitement. My mum asked me if I would walk with her as my father would walk Bronwyn down the aisle. Her wedding was a wonderful celebration. Little did we know that in 4 months we'd be in the church again for her funeral. Brian, her husband, stood up in the church and said, "I don't understand why this has happened, but I trust God." Brian's life has shown over the years that he continues to trust God. After 22 years, at this stage, he remains unmarried. But his life is a testimony in the midst of the awfulness and discomfort that he knows that God is good. Like Manoah, we cannot fully know God's incomprehensible and wonderful name, but we do know his character. We do know that the Lord Jesus is faithful and he will return. So like Manoah and his wife, our response is to worship the one and live in awe of the name he has revealed to us. The one who knows the bigger picture that we can't know. The one who holds the future that we don't know what will happen. But we do know, because of what's happened in history, that what will happen in the future will ultimately be okay, because the Lord Jesus will make everything right. And so we find in this passage the encouragement of strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we can be guilty of praying because that's what we're supposed to do. We find it so easy to go through the motions. And yet we pray because we know it's only you who can take your word and apply it into our hearts and minds so that we will not only be hearers but doers of your word. We thank you so much for who you are. You are the God who reveals yourself. And yet your name is incomprehensible. We thank you've revealed yourself to the Lord through the Lord Jesus to us. And that we know you through him. We know your character. We know your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness. We know that you keep your promises, and we know that you're always aware of our situations. Now, Father, we confess that sometimes it is not easy to trust, but we thank you for the encouragement of your word that out of despair, there is always the hope through the gospel. We pray that you will enable us to live in the light of that hope. The challenge of living in situations that seem so despairing and yet living not in despair. We don't always find that easy. We thank you for the gift of your word and the gift of your spirit and your wonderful promises. And pray that they will continue to sustain us. Our Father, we do thank you for Father's Day, but we thank you more for your goodness as our Father. Amen.